1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A new report from the Labor Department this morning showing 272,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy in the month of May, significantly more than what was expected. Here's ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
This report puts into question this idea that the jobs market is significantly slowing down. Investors on Wall Street have been hopeful that jobs and inflation are cooling enough that the Federal Reserve will finally be able to cut high interest rates. Stubborn inflation and high wage growth might make that rate cut less likely. So far this year, the S&P 500, which is what's reflected in most Americans' retirement accounts, is up 12%.
President Biden has publicly apologized to Ukrainian President Zelensky for the six-month delay in U.S. military aid that was held up in the House of Representatives. The prosecution wrapping up its case against Hunter Biden, who is accused of lying about illicit drug use on a federal form required to buy a gun. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state of Wisconsin is withholding nearly $17 million in aid to Milwaukee Public Schools because the district still hasn't turned over financial reports that were due 9 months ago. The move comes 2 days after the district superintendent resigned and the district's controller was fired. Alleged felonies at the Waupun State Prison are reviving talk of replacing the aging state prisons at Waupun and Green Bay. State Representative Mark Bourne says the lockups are too outdated to remodel.
Both of those facilities, they're built in such a different way that refurbishing them is very difficult, very expensive. It would be hard to make them useful in a modern prison way.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt recommends remodeling or rebuilding. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Recently, First Presbyterian Church in Oshkosh offered a safe space for the homeless. However, the city of Oshkosh told the church it was violating zoning code by operating an unauthorized campground. Pastor Deb Sweats.
First Presbyterian Church is more than willing to be fined to do what is right in providing temporary refuge for people with nowhere else to go.
Social justice groups say that the Oshkosh Police and Winnebago County Sheriff's officials have been issuing move-along orders to the unhoused population in the city. OSHA proposed over $177,000 in fines for Conn's Wood Products in Grand Chute after 57-year-old Francis Wolfinger died in an industrial accident there in December. OSHA said it identified 15 serious and 2 repeat safety violations during an inspection after the incident. They say 2 of the violations directly related to Wolfinger's death. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers are in Detroit for a weekend series against the Tigers after being swept earlier this week by Philadelphia. But manager Pat Murphy says the Philly series will help the team going forward.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League. Hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys, and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee continues to juggle its roster as 8 pitchers and 9 total players are on the DL. First pitch in Detroit is scheduled for 5:40 p.m. The Boston Celtics took Game 1 of the NBA Finals, winning 107-89 over the Dallas Mavericks. Jaylen Brown scored 22 points, while Jason Tatum had 16 points and 11 rebounds. Game 2 is Sunday night. 3 state high school championships are this weekend. State softball and tennis are today and tomorrow in Madison, and the first ever state lacrosse championship is Saturday in Sun Prairie. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy and a little on the breezy side today. We'll get to 71 for a high. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers, rain showers in the morning, clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like rowing upstream, but it's a river, a whitewater river, and the only paddles you have are pool noodles. Then when a new to-do pops up, you're like, nope, I'm already rowing upstream with these pool noodle paddles. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to get personalized discounts with a commercial auto insurance quote online, so your to-do list is smooth sailing. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverages and discounts not available in all states and subject to policy terms and underwriting.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome WBAY morning anchor Emerson Lehman, who will talk about a big racing event here in Wisconsin. And Terry Barr joins us for a Friday night chat and some new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. By now, if you don't know it, it's my co-host Sandy Williams, who is here every Friday and offering great analysis on a whole array of subjects. But before we go back, download the Civic Media app right now for your chance to win some great prizes in our statewide Scunny Summer Giveaway. Every hour, someone will win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. Every day, someone will win a pair of Brewer tickets, and two grand prize winners will get a Wisconsin staycation with a gas card included. Use the Civic Media app to text the word beach. The keyword is beach, and no, Sandy, you can't participate.
Damn. I was just writing that down on my notepad here.
Sandy, I don't know, man. Trump, and this is Washington Post this morning, Trump plans to claim sweeping powers to cancel federal spending. Again, Sandy, how do we know what's real and what's not real? And whether and how can the citizens of the United States understand what is possible and what is impossible? So Donald Trump is vowing to wrest key spending powers from Congress if elected this November, promising to assert more control over the federal budget than any president in U.S. history. The Constitution gives control over spending to Congress, but Trump and his aides maintain that the president should have much more discretion, including the authority to cease programs altogether, even if lawmakers fund them. Depending on the response from the Supreme Court and Congress, Trump plans could upend the balance of power between the three branches of the federal government. So, Sandy, is it possible?
There are substantial powers of executive order, but they don't extend very far in the direction of limiting the amount that is limiting the amount of the expenditure that's appropriated by Congress. So I think this once again maybe is a campaign promise that's vague in nature and has little likelihood of being able to be fulfilled in a manner that has a significant impact. I mean, yes, there are powers in the executive to defer when expenditures are made, but there was litigation in prior administrations to take the stopper out of the bottle when the executive tried to stop expenditures that had been authorized specifically by Congress.
You know, Trump and his advisors have prepared an attack on limits on the presidential spending authority. On his campaign website, Trump has said he will push Congress to repeal parts of the 1974 law that restricts the president's authority to spend federal dollars without congressional approval. Trump has also said he will unilaterally challenge the law by cutting off funding for certain programs, promising on his first day in office to order every agency to identify large chunks of their budget that would be halted by the presidential edict. Sandy, if you just listen to those things, and if any of those things can come true, it's a frightening precedent that a president can have those kinds of powers. You know, if there are three branches of government, Sandy, and there is, and they all are set and balanced, if now one person can, you know, upend those kinds of things at all possible, what do we have?
Well, that's, you know, we've had almost every administration has tried to test the boundaries of the presidential power. When Congress decided to dig in its heels and not let Obama accomplish anything, Obama issued a substantial number of executive orders, which the Republican Party, many of which were taken to court by the Republican Party, and a number of which were overturned as exceeding the power of the presidency with respect to its executive order. And I think that a second President Trump term, if were he to try to exercise those powers, would find that the same kind of thing would happen. It would be taken to court. You notice what he says is he would test the power, okay? And so, you know, this is more maybe eyewash than it is something that will actually occur.
You know, Sandy, having your background and you can understand it because you understand the inner workings and the political realities and the legal realities of all those things. But the average citizen doesn't understand any of that, Sandy. And when they hear this kind of thing, it's frightening.
He's not saying it to be frightening. He's saying it to play to a base of people who are interested in having a great deal more restriction on the amount that's expended. And I suspect that he's promising that he will use his priorities to restrict expenditures rather than what Congress would exercise were they to exercise their priorities. And so, you know, he's playing to a base. And to those who aren't a part of that base, I think it would be an alarming prospect. I think it's an alarming prospect to allow an individual, the president, to have such powers over expenditures. He can't authorize the expenditures, and therefore I'm not sure that he should be entitled as well to block the expenditures if once they are authorized.
Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
I'm just wanted to go on to a couple of things you guys are talking about now with the I think the border thing, because I just picked up on, I had to put on hold and then came back to the show. But with the executive bill that President Biden is currently trying to enact, and the bill that was not signed initially, which really gave Republicans everything they wanted and would have really done some great things down at the border, I think I maybe I'm one of those people Sandy is talking about that is a little panicked about between the Heritage Foundation and Trump, what exactly would happen if he were to get into office. And the Senate or Congress having this power to stop Trump, I think they have a very well-oiled machine and a well-formulated plan that would get him around some of the hurdles that Sandy's talking about and allow him to do some things that could cause a lot of problems. But and then going back real quick to your thing with the gas pricing, you know, the fallacy that's been developed that, you know, Biden's in charge of what oil companies charge for gas, and that, you know, the folks that would may vote for Trump thinking that he is their economic savior is just such a fallacy within itself, because you're talking about a guy that will be the slave to the corporates and have already had all the old people over and said, basically, give me $1 billion and you can rape the land and charge people whatever you want. Just give me $1 billion and you can do what you want. So that's my side of it. And you guys have a great weekend.
Hey, man, thank you very much for always listening and chiming in. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, he's right that that the Federalist Society, there are actually conservative think tanks devoting themselves entirely to trying to figure out how they can use executive power to the maximum degree possible. And so I do think we can expect to see a lot of that put into play. And maybe there will be some end runs, but I think the courts can possibly exercise a pretty strong constraint on the ability of a president to do a lot of things unilaterally. One of the things Joe Biden has going for him with respect to the operation of ICE and the kinds of things that he's talking about at the border is that the president is given a fair amount of discretionary authority associated with that arena, and or at least might be. And so I think that he well might be able to issue executive orders that will stand up that can potentially have a significant impact at the border. But, you know, it's really been up to Congress for decades to do what is necessary. And when Congress finally did what was necessary, Trump pulled the plug on it in terms of having the Senate not go along with the deal.
Let me ask you something, Sandy. I'm sure it's happened in the past, but not recent history. The last time two lame duck guys were running for president of the United States, whether Joe Biden, you know, wins, gets reelected, or whether Donald Trump gets reelected, both of them can only get 4 years. What impact is that going to have moving forward, either way?
Well, second-term presidents are, in a way, lame ducks, but they're also more immune to feeling the pressure of politics, okay? So they're more likely to exercise their power in a more unilateral fashion designed to accomplish things which they choose and want to accomplish, which might be done purely by executive order. And we saw that in Obama's second 4 years. He issued substantially larger number of executive orders in his second 4 years than he did in his first. So I think we could expect both presidents, but we already have one candidate, Trump, who's promising to do this. I think we can expect to see a barrage of executive orders, and I think we can see the courts essentially congested with cases which are testing the executive powers.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK here in Waukesha and Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you for the call. You say what?
I say good morning, and thank you for taking my call. So for about the last two and a half, 3 years, whatever it was, Joe Biden kept saying he did not have the executive power to do anything at the border. Yet this week, didn't he just sign an executive order, the same executive order basically that Donald Trump had in place?
That he thought it was up to Congress.
Sandy, we're having some problems with your. Okay, so. All right, want to try that again, Sandy? Okay, so we're having couple microphones issues with Sandy. So Mark, what's your point?
My point is he said it at least probably 100 times that he didn't have the authority to sign that bill or to sign that executive order. Yet this week when he's getting heat, because now we're only 6 months away from the election, now all of a sudden it's okay to sign that executive order. Is that not true?
Let's try it again, Sandy. Sandy, why don't you go out and come back in? You know, Mark, I can't say that I have the answer to that. What I will say to you and Sandy, once we get him back on, I'll have him address that question. But what I will say to you is, whether or not he had the capability of doing that, years ago, or the fact that he's doing it now, is certainly going to be an issue that is going to play prominently in what turns out. Sandy, I think we have your back.
Yeah. So, Biden is signing an executive order, yes, and he's signing one that is a great deal like the ones that were executed by Trump. And it is an open issue as to whether he has the power to do it. But given Congress's default on the deal that was cut, bipartisan deal that was cut, and the fact that Trump got in the way of getting it passed, I think Biden has taken a responsible position, which is, okay, if Congress isn't going to do what it was going to do, then I will make the same effort that the prior president made by to do this by executive order. And so he's doing it by executive order. I don't quite understand why people want to object about someone doing something because they think they're doing it pursuant to political pressure. Because I think it can be honestly said that Trump has used the immigrant issue as a political tool. And it is all about politics, okay? And so I think that Joe Biden is a part of the political process, but I think he's also responding to a public policy need that has been there for 25 years. George Bush II created a commission and devoted a great deal of personal attention to trying to get a bill passed, a bipartisan bill passed, in the first decade of this century.
Mark?
I'm not objecting to him actually signing that executive order, but for 2.5 years, it's just like this whole inflation thing. And he said when he took over as president, inflation was at 7%. It's just another lie that he keeps repeating. It's the same lie that he's repeating on this executive order on the border. He said it for 2.5 years that he did not have the authority, but yet 6 months before the election, now he comes out and signs the exact same thing as Trump had in place. Again, I'm not objecting to the fact that he signed it. I'm objecting to the lies that he over the last 2 years.
Well, I'm not sure it's a lie to say that he has a question about whether there's authority, because there is a question as to whether he has the authority, and it will probably be tested. It'll be ironic if it's tested by Republicans who would be then trying to upset the same sort of order that had been issued by a prior Republican president. And as for the inflation rate, Biden did inherit an economy which was leaning in the direction of runaway inflation because of some things that were happening ongoing at the time. So, I'm not sure about whether that's a lie. I think the facts are there as to what inflation was on any particular month as measured in the CPI over a period of time.
Mark, you got the last of it.
I appreciate this, Earl, so thank you. But again, going back to that whole inflation thing, how many times has he said he inherited an economy that had over a 7% inflation rate? That is just 100% false, and he keeps spewing it and spewing it and spewing it. And again, you guys never call him on all of this bumbling and stumbling and the lies that come out, but yet you're first to react whenever Trump makes some stupid, idiotic comment. And again, I stand by that stupid, idiotic comments by Trump. So.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, Mark is a guy who clearly is on the other side of, you know, discussions.
Mark,
he represents. Go ahead.
I think Mark might be a right centrist. Okay, just like we have left centrists, and so I don't want to label somebody, but I think that. Number one, I'm not sure I've heard Biden saying so repeatedly that he inherited 7%. I think he inherited an economy which was on the verge and had all kinds of pressure built into it for inflation. Coming out of the pandemic was bound to be an inflationary period, just like coming out of World War II was bound to be an inflationary period. You know, I think that fair reporting is what's needed. I think we've tried to be fair. I think that we've talked about, I think he's wrong, whether we questioned and talked about and whether the public at large has talked about and worried about Biden's age, for instance, just as they might worry about the competence and age of Donald Trump.
So, Sandy, let me say this quickly. Inflation was inevitable. The nation has been humming ever since the last 4 years of President Barack Obama. And it can't go on ad infinitum, can it, Sandy, before there's some balance.
Well, I think recession is what is, or at least moderation of growth is something that is inevitable. Inflation has also been inevitable over long cycles. And there are situations that can lead to inflation. The world experienced inflation. Europe experienced more inflation than we did. And Europe is actually continuing to experience more inflation than we are experiencing. There were world factors involved as well as national factors.
All right, 844-967-2789. Text us at the same numbers. Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Only time will tell.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A nonprofit that helps train people to find jobs is closing its Milwaukee laundry service later this summer and laying off 136 people. Goodwill Industries operates one of the biggest commercial laundry operations in Wisconsin. It also owns retail stores that help people in need. Goodwill notified the state about its plans this week. Young voters in small-town Wisconsin say they care most about health care, the economy, reproductive rights, and climate change. Organizers say rural Wisconsin is getting more diverse.
They're also asking for more diverse representation within local government and within community decision makers.
Crystal Egbo does political outreach in northeastern Wisconsin. 24% of the rural population are people of color, and many are immigrants. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Several Juneteenth celebrations are planned in Northeast Wisconsin this month. Juneteenth celebrates the day slaves in Galveston, Texas, heard that they were freed 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Robin Scott, Executive Director of We All Rise African American Resource Center in Green Bay.
It is our Independence Day, just like as parts of our American culture, we celebrate July 4th as Independence Day. As African Americans, we too celebrate Juneteenth.
Juneteenth will be celebrated in Appleton on Sunday from noon till 5 at 301 West Lawrence Street. The Fox Cities Experience brings carnival rides, food trucks, and 25 local music acts to Jefferson Park and Menasha this weekend. Jim Collar, the communications director.
This is a chance to shake off that cabin fever and go out to see all those bands that you've been waiting to see in an outdoor environment.
The event runs from 4 till 11 p.m. tonight and tomorrow night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. As another summer weekend approaches, there are numerous options when it comes to movies. Buddy cop action film Bad Boys Ride or Die, I know which one I would choose, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, opens wide Friday. Somehow the film is pulling a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're up for some horror, check out Ishana Shyamalan's directorial debut, yep, that's M. Night's daughter, The Watchers, starring Dakota Fanning. Despite potential nepotistic brilliance, beware, Watchers is only receiving a 33% on RT. Opening in a limited release is the sci-fi fantasy drama Tuesday, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It opens on the coasts this weekend, but will find its way to a wider release next weekend. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, will enjoy a limited re-release on the big screen this weekend as well, if you're lucky enough to live close to one of the theaters. Check local listings and have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and a little on the breezy side today. We'll get to 71 for a high. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers, rain showers in the morning. Clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lan and Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream, right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous.
Do you have a picture?
I don't.
That's phenomenal.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbus.
Hey, everybody, join us for a TGIF edition. We have Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World with a week in review and Brady Ewing taking a look at sports. Join us.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right. Welcome back to Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. You know, that means my co-host Sandy Williams is on, and he requested Saturday Night Fever's.
Yeah, I'm Travolta.
So anyway, 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. You know, Sandy, Israel defends strike on UN school complex where thousands sheltered. Sandy, it just is not getting any better. You know, many, many women and children were killed. Israel says they targeted 30 fighters that were infiltrated in the school. And the fact that those 30 fighters they knew were in the building, apparently it gave them justification at all costs. It doesn't matter collateral damage as long as we get, you know, the Hamas fighters. And Joe Biden had been working really hard, and they were talking about, you know, creating some ceasefire. But Sandy, this thing is in a situation that it may spiral so far out of control that more than, you know, people and Palestinians dying, this thing could really, Sandy, spiral so far out of control now. Your thoughts?
Well, Netanyahu, you know, said he was adamant about having to finish off Hamas before they have a ceasefire, which, you know, the whole concept of finishing off an embedded guerrilla organization is a very difficult prospect, okay? I mean, you can't pinpoint the people who are embedded and infiltrated into a situation from the civilians who are innocent. International law has this kind of, it's like drawn up by lawyers, and it's a fine point that doesn't really resolve the question of how many innocent lives can you take in exchange for pursuing a proper military objective. So the Israelis are saying, look, we have to pursue Hamas. That's a proper military objective. And I think the rest of the world has said, yes, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and it's okay for you to pursue Hamas militarily. But then the question is, how much collateral damage is okay in the pursuit of a valid military objective of, for instance, chasing 30 Hamas fighters in the context of potentially killing a substantial number of civilians? What's the right proportion? Well, first of all, any proportion for some people would seem to be too much, right? You know, how many innocent civilians should be allowed to be killed in the pursuit of a war? And the way that Hamas is embedded into Gaza and the whole concept of destroying Hamas completely as an organization embedded in a population in Gaza is fraught with the probability of many, many civilian deaths, which is what we're experiencing. And so, you know, I think it's right to be critical of the concept of an objective of militarily destroying a guerrilla organization, particularly when the guerrilla organizations has as its basis a bunch of volunteers who volunteer because of the circumstance and the conditions that exist within Gaza.
You know, facing international criticism of its conduct of the war and its latest strike on a UN school building being used as shelter in central Gaza, the Israeli military offered a full-throated defense of the operation, insisting late Thursday that its forces had targeted a group of about 30 militants using three classrooms as a base. They did not, Sandy, say that we were not aware that children and women were in this facility. They basically clearly stated that those militants were there, and as if the women and children didn't count because their focus was solely on the militants. And, And so, Sandy, the rest of the world is saying that way of thinking is unacceptable, but yet it's what is happening and over and over again. And can Israel, in the long run, Sandy, after this is all over, have they put themselves in a position where they can dismiss the rest of the world and stand alone?
Well, like I've said, I've worried from the very beginning that the strategy of destroying Hamas, because that strategy inherently and absolutely would involve a substantial amount of so-called collateral damage with many civilian deaths, and that has been borne out. And my fear about that was that it would put Israel into something closer to a pariah status with a bunch of countries rather than having the support of most of the world as they have had to date in support of the circumstance of having a protected Jewish state in the Middle East. And so I think what they're doing is by establishing themselves as being essentially wanting to operate on a rogue basis as compared to world standards, that they're jeopardizing this general world support that they've experienced in the past. And I think that's a problem.
All right, let's go to Mike from Muscadet. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl.
Thank you for calling.
I was just watching over here in Normandy on the television with President Biden. And it's really sad to see a man just kind of walk around and have to be pointed in directions, and it's humiliating to myself and maybe a lot of American people to see his mental decline. I don't understand why his family doesn't take him out of this position or talk him out of the voting for running for four more years. He's just not capable. We can see it. You must see a different Joe Biden than I do.
Well, Sandy, you can respond first.
Well, I think we all can have our own perceptions of what we see. What you're talking about is a perception of an individual. I am similarly troubled by a perception of incompetence that I see in his opponent, probable opponent, Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump senescent? I'm not sure. Is he competent? I think not. I think... We all have our own impressions about the candidates, and I suspect that in a vote between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, people will be deciding which of these two situations they would prefer to vote into office.
Mike?
Well, I think that was obvious when, after all those so-called charges were put up against him, he turns around and raises $200 million. So I think that's a vote for the Trumpster.
Well, so Mike, let me say this to you, sir. Because he raised $200 million does not mean that, you know, those are people who are already going to support him, who put that money behind him. Don't think that it means that now all of a sudden others have swung towards supporting him. You know, Sandy, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about was this article that talked about Democrats and Republicans both witnessing just tremendous amounts of people leaving both parties in record numbers. And you have talked about for years, Sandy, you and I, about how much longer our nation can exist with two parties. Are we finally starting to see right now, Sandy, the erosion of that two parties that has been synonymous with our nation? And maybe we're at a point now where those changes are going to be taking place?
Well, I do think that what we've had is a long-term trend towards the candidate for each party being selected by a potentially more fringe part of the party. And then the question is whether what do the people who are view themselves as being in the center, where do they locate themselves in terms of partisan vote? I think Joe Biden, now, in spite of the fact that he's being painted as a progressive, doesn't really represent the far left of the Democratic Party. There is a part of the party that is much further left than Joe Biden. On the other hand, I think the MAGA Republicans represent a rather more fringe part of the Republican Party. But it's a substantial scale, right? So, I think the polls I see suggest that maybe 30% of the population, 25 to 30% might be strident Trump supporters and who would consider themselves MAGA Republicans. And so, you know, what's going to happen in the future? I don't know. The way we're set up with Electoral College doesn't lend itself very well to a 3 or 4 party system. But on the other hand, the two parties right now seem to be failing a substantial number of people in terms of their being viewing themselves as bound to that particular party.
All right, let's go to Gene from Eclair. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. This is a great topic this morning. I really wonder how many of the people who live under Netanyahu really support him and really agree with what he's doing. That being said, I feel real bad for that situation, and I don't particularly have a favorable opinion of Netanyahu. I just want to bring up some references real quickly for people who think that Donald J. Trump would be a better president than Joe Biden. Go to YouTube and see Republican voters against Trump. Listen to what they're saying. Look at the Lincoln Project and see what they're saying. Look at the Bulwark, was started by Republicans. See what they're saying. Look at what fellow people who believe the same way you do are saying about Donald Trump. And I rest my case, and have a great weekend, guys. Thank you for the work that you do.
Hey, thank you very much, Gene. Really appreciate it. Let's go quickly back to Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, quickly.
Yeah, quickly, I just wanted to say in response to the last guy that was on the phone, I would take a doddering blind fool before I would take a guy who was not willing to go to that celebration because he was worried about his hair hat getting wet, and then called soldiers suckers and losers. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we're at a point where, as I said before, people are moving away from both parties. It's not going to happen overnight, but there are more and more people calling themselves independents. Do you think both parties are learning anything from that?
I don't think parties currently have much power. So I think it isn't parties that matter. I think that candidates create themselves. Donald Trump is onto himself. Party, you know, and he has taken over the Republican Party. The Republican Party hasn't adopted Donald Trump. And the Democratic side is maybe a little bit different than that, but I think that the candidates largely create their own following, and then the parties tend to embrace that individual. That's the difference between partisan politics today and what it was in the 50s when parties had a great deal to do with the selection of candidates. Now it's all about the public, and it's about the party's version of primary races.
Guys, hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. One more segment. You still have time to get in on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back to what is a fast-moving, as always, Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with the one and only Sandy Williams. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope all is well. I, too, have to comment about the gentleman who spoke about Biden being a doddering fool. For one thing, Biden was just filmed on riding his bike. When was the last time you saw Trump doing anything other than taking three steps out of a golf cart? Also, the Associated Press, there is an article talking about what this gentleman was talking about with Biden looking like a doddering fool. That video was doctored, and it was cut too soon. So it looked like he was a doddering fool, but it did not give the whole – they zoomed in on it. They did not give the whole thing of what was going on around him. And it was the same thing when they showed the footage of him shaking hands with nobody. He wasn't. And if they panned out, which I've seen the video, it made perfect sense what he was doing. This is the media, Fox News, and all that other right-wing garbage out there who does everything to manipulate people. And we just heard from a manipulated man who believes all this stuff because they want him to believe and doesn't do any other research on the topic.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for calling, as always. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. Earl and Sandy, I want to ask you a question. Do you think instead of Ronald Reagan saying, tear down this wall, that what he really meant was tear down our government? Thank you.
Now, Sandy, you want to respond to that, or we'll go right back to the phone lines?
I think back to the phone lines, but I would agree that Reagan's attack on government wasn't intended to reach the level that it's currently at.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, you say what, sir?
Hey, real quick. You know, being an independent and supporting a third or fourth party is great. Basically, we're talking about my recent history. I dismissed the two-party system a long time ago, but here's what I learned about 15 years ago, and that is you have to work with the system you have. You know, unless you happen to have that majorly, you know, a popular third party candidate, the way the system is designed now, a third party candidate has very little chance. You have to work within the system that you have. That's my comment. But I will say this too regarding Gary's call. If these folks would look at the evidence. Look at all the testimony. Look at all the people that have said and, you know, done the same thing regarding Donald Trump and how they've shunned him. They've said that, you know, he's a loathsome person. You know, all we're trying to do here the rest of us is we want to see equal application of the law. We want everybody to be treated fairly. We don't believe that just because you're a billionaire that you should be coddled and have different treatment. No, we should all be treated the same thing. So I think justice and liberty is what most of us are pursuing here. This isn't necessarily a party witch hunt.
Hey, Mike, after Donald Trump. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to Mike?
Well, not so much to Mike, but I think what one thing that is important as we analyze the capabilities of these individuals, Donald Trump has a whole bunch of people who worked near close to him in his last administration, a whole bunch of people of high reputation, a bunch of people who he hired into the jobs they had, who are lining up today to tell the American people, don't elect this person because this person has all sorts of qualities that don't belong in the White House. We don't have that same long list of people lining up to tell us not to vote for Joe Biden, who have been near him. So I think we have patriotic people, people who are worried and interested in the future of America, who know Donald Trump very well, who are warning the American people, look, I worked for this person. I chose to work for this person. And my experience with this person tells me that this person should not ever again be in the White House. And I think that's a very important testimony that we ought to listen to. And we ought to maybe listen to that more than we might look at, use our eyes to reach conclusions about whether someone stumbles downstairs or whether someone has a good golf swing.
All right, let's go to Mike. Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill, quickly. Bill, are you there? Okay, I don't know where Bill is. But, you know, Sandy, you and I attempt to do this on every show. And as long as you and I have been together, we certainly have attempted to be open and give equal opportunity to people from both sides. And, you know, people may make statements and say that we don't do that. But, Sandy, we do that every time you and I are together. And we've done that from the very onset. And so if everybody would do that, we'd be able to have a more balanced conversation on what is taking place. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think today we did have a balance. I mean, I think Gary represents a significant segment of people who worry about Joe Biden's age. But I think what we need to think about is the testimony of individuals around. You know, presidents represent a team of people, and they represent a potential direction for government. And I think that's what we ought to be concerned about. And when you look at that, and you look at the testimony of individuals who know these people well, I think that it's very telling. You know, I think that we have a substantial number of highly responsible people who operated very closely to Donald Trump, who are warning the American people that this is a person who should not be in the White House.
You know, Sandy, before we get out of here, you're down in Sarasota, Florida. What is the temperature probably?
Well, yesterday it was feel like 105. Okay. So I don't think people should volunteer for this, quite frankly.
Well, you know, we live on a glacier back here. It's about 70 degrees.
Sounds great.
And sunny. All right, have a safe trip, man. Look forward to having you back safely. It's great.
See you on Tuesday.
And good luck. Up next, Jane Madnair and Greg Bach. Madnair on air. Calvin, thank you for a great week. As always, could not do it without you. Guys, enjoy the weekend. Be safe. And I'll see you guys on Monday.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Crude and Dom. Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a very special Friday edition. We're airing the grievances and gearing up for Crude and Dom's birthday week. You'll want to listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores, find your station, and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.